We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on in.
Hello, Jamie Monticelli.
Hi, friend.
I'm so happy you're here.
How are you?
Welcome I'm back. Good. What a gorgeous day. Oh, my gosh. I was driving in today, and I'm like, this is a windows down kind of day. I don't care about my allergies. We're doing it.
You look all cute in the polka dots.
Thank you. I love my little polka dots.
Yeah. Got Taylor Swift on full blast.
I do. Got the T-Swift on blast. No, my new favorite song that I'm obsessed with that I keep playing for everybody is that Yaya song.
Oh, Beyonce.
So I finally listened to that entire album today.
And what did you think?
Well, over the weekend, one of my girlfriends, when we were on my little trip to the Ozarks, said, you know, that Texas Hold'em song is the really big popular one. It's very catchy.
I can't stand it.
Very catchy.
Can't stand it.
But she says to me, forget Texas Hold'em. There is another track on that album that's going to blow you away. And the beginning of it is, you remember in the 1960s, was it the 60s? These boots are made for walking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is that great intro. If you have it, Sam, can we pull it up? It starts with that. She has clearly gotten permission.
Oh, really?
To blend. Was that Brenda Lee or whoever? I mean,
memory
is like
bad.
In the 1960s.
Yeah.
She's gotten permission to blend that in. It is hands down, Nice Day, windows down, the catchiest song you have ever heard in your life. And I was, oh, here we go. Oh, it is so catchy. Oh my gosh, it is. I'm sorry, it is.
Why don't I like Beyonce?
She goes, Toms, please. Go a little bit further in. I don't play her on a loop like I do Taylor Swift. I don't dislike her music.
Mm-hmm.
But until I started listening to this album, and I know she's brilliant and smashes records and like all of those things, until this album, I'm like, oh my gosh. And a friend of mine said they think she's going to do every genre.
I've heard that too. Yeah.
Just to prove that she can, and she will.
Yeah.
Listen to this. I'm telling you.
Uh-uh.
It is so catchy. Come on.
She spelled her own name
can't
wrong.
Can't do it.
I love it. Why can't you do it?
Here's what I've realized as we have analyzed this a lot. Because people love Beyonce, and I sort of didn't have any feelings about her until she did the country song. And then I really didn't like that song. And so she is too vibrato for me.
Okay.
She does everything in this vibrato. And it just gets old. I just don't like it. I just don't.
I can understand it because there are people, and Scott will say this, who think Taylor Swift is brilliant and a brilliant writer, but he doesn't like her music. And I'm always like, wait, how can you not like her music?
Is she not dropping two albums on Friday?
Oh, it's
this
coming.
Friday? I think she's doing two of them on Friday.
The Torture Poets?
Yeah, that's the first one. And then I hear there's a second one coming out Friday.
Oh my gosh,
because
I cannot
wait.
Why not?
She's back on tour soon. Why not drop before she goes back on tour?
She can. Speaking of concerts, I do want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about this. Attorneys this week for rapper Travis Scott. Remember that?
Yes.
Awful.
Yes.
Awful incident at the Astroworld concert where the wave of the crowd pushed forward and people were trampled to death. 10 people died. So attorneys for Travis Scott argued this week that he should be dismissed from hundreds of lawsuits that were filed over the Astroworld festival, saying he was not responsible for safety planning or watching for possible dangers at the Houston event. But attorneys for relatives of one of the 10 people killed during that massive crowd surge said that he ignored safety concerns and threatened to release online the personal information of anyone who would cancel the event over safety concerns. They say, no, Scott is devastated and heartbroken by what happened. And the families are suing everybody, of course. The promoter,
Let the court sort it out.
Well, there weren't safety concerns prior to the event. The safety concerns happened when people started bum rushing the gates and pushing them over and forcing their way in without going through the standard procedure.
Well, but we talked to Bob Edwards is the greatest resource when it comes to this stuff because they have done so many concerts over the years. And he had looked at the video at the time and we had him down here to kind of explain like who is in charge of the safety.
Right.
And one of the things he said you have to do is have pathways down there in the pit.
Yep.
Like almost like if you picture a tic-tac-toe sign.
Yep.
You have to have a tic-tac-toe sign where there are appropriate pathways that if there is a surge, people have a place to go in a way that they didn't, I think, when the Travis Scott surge happened.
So the question I had about that when that happened, and I don't know if this is a part of the lawsuit or not, is weren't there questions about whether he should have seen that this was happening and he should have stopped it from the stage?
Now, I vehemently will defend him on that count. People are saying he should have seen it and stopped it. Okay.
Yeah.
There were 100,000 people there. When you are up on stage, you know this, Jamie, it is lights, it is music, and all the lights are shined on you. There is no way we can ask an artist to be able to look out and somehow foresee that something bad is happening in the crowd.
Well, in defense of that point, it's I think from the stage it would be hard to tell the difference between something dangerous happening and people just dancing and kind of moving in the crowd together. I could see that being difficult. But I do think from stage you can see the crowd. I mean, because they interact with the crowd. But should he have been able to tell what was really going on? I don't think he had, I can't imagine he would know anything or have any liability in terms of safety procedures.
At 5 a.m., fans began to line up at the festival's outer perimeter. And remind me, Sam, because then it says at 10 a.m., a crowd attempted to pull down barricades and rush a checkpoint.
Yeah, so from what I remember, the disaster was the fact that they didn't have enough entry points. And so people were getting livid because they were standing in lines that were hundreds of thousands, hundreds and hundreds of people long, and the lines weren't moving very quickly. And they decided, okay, well, if you're not going to give us enough entrances, we'll make some entrances. And they started just rushing in as fast as they could, pushing down the bodyguards. And you've seen the videos of the security guards trying to slow the people down. And they have 100 people running at them. The most they can do is stop one or two. And even then, the force of those people pushed over the security guards.
Here's what this says. Scott was scheduled to start his set at 8:45, but did not appear on stage until 9:02, starting his set at 9:06. His appearance on stage resulted in a complete crush forward, leading to that human crush. At 9 p.m., members of the crowd pressed forward and surged from the sides, causing a crush near the stage. And you remember, people were not even standing. They were they were lifted up off the ground. And there are two separate issues, Sam. One is the way we enter people into concerts, and we've seen deaths over that before as well, where, you know, think about the Sprint Center outside.
Yeah.
You have like 15 or 20 points of entry. That's why.
Right.
Because that's not Travis Scott's job.
I agree.
That's the promoter's job.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
But is it? Is it not? They're all there to see him. Would we be blaming Taylor Swift if there was a crowd rush toward her stage? Or would you blame the people that are in charge of setting up this stage?
We would probably blame Taylor Swift, but that's incorrect because Taylor Swift is being paid to show up by the promoter. The show is not Taylor Swift's show or Travis Scott's show. The show is the promoter's show featuring the artist.
I also wonder, how do you prevent? It's one thing if you have too many people in a space or an emergency in that space and you got to try to get them out of those exits.
Yep.
That's not what this was. I don't know how you prevent beforehand a rush of people like that toward the stage.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it that there's a word for that type of concert? And we saw that with Billie Eilish. And you have to remind me the word. It's not a general admission, but there's a word with that type of concert where you just run. And the people that, you know, and what one of the things Bob Edwards says is that's why you rarely see that anymore.
Where it's assigned seats.
Where it has to be assigned seats because it's the only thing that will prevent that crush.
Yeah.
To
how
the
do
pit.
You prevent the crush? If people just start running toward the stage to get as close as they can.
Scaling gates, multiple. Okay. And here's how quickly this happened, by the way. At 9:11 productions, 9:11 p.m., reported the main stage had been compromised.
Wow.
At 9:12, a tightly packed group in the crowd's southern quadrant began screaming for medical help. By 9:16, people were already died, were already dying.
And he had just taken the stage.
Yes, and they're saying, well, he should have stopped it. He didn't start his set until, 9:06?
Yeah.
There's also no way that for him to know that, because Travis Scott is known for a rowdy crowd.
Okay.
That's one of his staples. And he is known to rile up the crowd. And that's not That's not something that can go against him. There's tons of artists out there that their thing is the mosh pit style show.
Right.
And that's his thing. How does he know when it goes from a mosh pit style crowd to, oh no, people are dying?
I tend to agree because, Sam, that back quadrant, one of the middle to the back quadrants, was where the initial deaths were happening before the surge.
Which is farthest away from him.
There's no way he would have seen that. Now, the show was not stopped for the first time until 9:24.
Why not? Okay, so that's a question.
Because people were yelling, I think, and then somebody maybe got his attention or...
Are security people at the show not communicating?
Yes, but I don't think the way they were packed in there, how are you going to get a message way up to Travis Scott
cell
to
phones.
Say people are dying?
Cell phone. I mean, can they not text each other?
Who would you call up there?
Whoever the manager is, the stage manager.
It comes back to the promoter. At the end of the day, they did not have enough security to handle the crowd. They did not have enough entrances. So now you have gigantic crowds of people that are not only there to get crazy, but now they're mad.
And can't get out.
Yeah.
Approximately 9:43, the attorney of one of the victims who later died confirmed she had been photographed in the medical tent with her injuries as a result of being stepped on by the crowd. I don't think it was until 10. Oh, yeah. It was 10:08 before they closed the show with the final song. So the
show kept going.
The show
That's a problem.
Kept going.
It's not his fault, but somebody should have stopped that show.
No, again, and I hate to keep, I don't know who the promoter was, hate to keep blaming him. The promoter needed to come up on stage and say, we're done.
Okay. Yeah, and make the decision.
But let me ask you this, Sam. When that happens,
then you face the option of the crowd going crazy and still killing people.
Correct. And then how do you get out of there without appropriate exits? 913-586-7798. I'm curious if you went to one of those shows, has this changed anything? I remember my son went to one of those Travis Scott shows, and I was like, oh, God, be careful.
Yeah.
Oh God, be careful. And I remember him saying, our seats aren't good enough to be down there in the pit where everybody's being crazy.
Maybe it doesn't matter.
I've been in a crowd like that where it got really tight, and I just started fighting my way out.
One of the women who passed out twice was an ICU nurse, and we'll tell a little bit about her story straight ahead. But who's in charge and what do you do when it comes to shows like this? Who's at fault? 913-586-7798. We're back right after this. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Our thanks to Jamie Monticelli for sitting in for a few minutes.
Hello.
I appreciate it.
Always.
Saw some video about this overnight, and then I thought, that must be in another part of the world because we don't do that here anymore. And it's right here in the United States. And I know people have very strong feelings about the circus. And in fact, several years ago in Kansas City, we stopped doing the live animal walk downtown with Ringling Brothers or Barnum and Bailey because we know better. And I think once we know better, we are supposed to do better. Which is why I was surprised to see there was an elephant roaming the streets of Butte, Montana this week after, quote, escaping from the circus.
Do we know what the circus was?
Let me look. It was April 16th that videos on social media showed the elephant roaming the streets after reportedly escaping from the Jordan World Circus. NBC Montana reported that the elephant got loose outside the Civic Center.
It got spooked by a vehicle, and that's what made it take off.
It was a backfiring truck.
Oh, gross.
So one of the circus elephants managed to escape from its trainer and wandered onto Harrison Avenue, a bustling street in town, according to the police chief. The animal did cause some damage to a Civic Center storage area, but no one was injured. They're lucky no one was killed.
Yeah, no
we just
kidding.
Saw the woman trampled last week. A woman from the United States trampled to death in Africa on a safari after the elephant rolled her Jeep. But what I want to ask our listeners, why are we still putting circus elephants and animals in...
Circus World is the only circus company that has banned elephants from their traveling circus performances.
Wait, say that again.
It's called Circus World.
That is who did this circus?
No.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So all the other companies in the U.S.
Yes. So back in 2016, Circus World made the change. Elephants stopped performing in all of their traveling circuses nationwide in 2016 over concerns about the ethical treatment of the elephants.
Yeah, correct.
But that is just... the Circus World Company.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know if there's a circus commission out there or what they have to
say
about
it. No. And as I've gotten older, I'm going to tell you, you know, we always used to take the kids to the circus. And then you get older and you start to understand that those animals are shoved into, I mean, we've all seen Dumbo.
Yeah.
Crates on trains.
Yeah.
Or however they get them here.
Crammed together.
Videos out there of the training make me nauseous and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's what happens with this company, but I'm saying I've seen other training videos where if you want to see an elephant, I am not even comfortable at this point. It really was zoos. Jamie, I'm just not.
So it was cool. I did the safari in South Africa when I was there, and it was cool to see just the elephants roaming in the wild. Here's my question for listeners though. Would you go to a circus without the live animals? Do you need the live animals for the circus to be something that you go see?
The biggest circus company in the world, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, dropped all animals last year.
And how are they doing, though, with attendance?
I think still okay because it's the Cirque du Soleil-style show where you have the motorcycle guys roaming around in the in the sphere. You have the trapeze artists. Like, to me, wild animals should not be... whipped for human entertainment.
Yeah.
Why do you think the elephants are so submissive?
Especially in
the
U.S.
If you really think about it, why do you think they're submissive?
Yeah. We shouldn't do this in the U.S. This is something that they would do in Africa or somewhere else where they don't respect animals as much.
I could not believe when I clicked on this and it said Butte because my first thought was, wait a minute, Montana?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still doing this with animals?
Yeah. So would you go to a circus?
No.
To those, if... could you take the elephants out of it? Or because the alternative to that is you have to treat them more humanely, or at the very least, you have to transport them more humanely. And that takes more space and that costs more money. And circuses aren't going to invest that. Would you be willing to spend more money on a ticket to the circus if you knew the animals were going to be transported better?
By the way, that decision was made by Ringling Brothers after their 2-year hiatus due to the pandemic. They decided to come back in 2023 for their first shows animal free.
Someone wrote on Twitter from Butte, this is crazy, elephant roaming around downtown Butte, but this is probably the most freedom that elephant has had in his life.
Accurate.
When was the last time you went to a circus and saw the trainer whipping the tiger, you know?
Oh, gosh.
You remember what the tiger went all tiger with Siegfried and Roy. And did we not stop doing that? Because I missed the memo here. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Back with much more straight ahead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, welcome back on in. I am so upset to see this, and not in a PETA way, although PETA is furious, that Viola the elephant that was there to perform in a circus in Butte, Montana.
Sweet Viola.
Oh, sweet Viola. Got spooked by a car backfiring and then just started running down the streets, thundering down the streets of Butte, Montana. I said to Jamie during the break, can you imagine for 1 second what would have happened if someone had been killed and or, Sam, sheriff's deputies rushed to the scene and with a lack of any understanding of what else to do.
Killed the elephant.
Elephant in broad daylight on this. And the
Whose car still backfires, by the way.
The only reason I think that that didn't happen was they were not scrambled soon enough to get their guns in place to do that.
The other question I asked Dana off the air was, are there not fences around this carnival? Do they not have gates up and stuff so that animals can't just escape and go running wild down the street?
To understand where the escape point
at the carnival, where it got away.
Where it got away. I'm looking now. Like, but I remember several years ago, some chimpanzees got out in the Kansas City Zoo.
Yes,
which ended up being hilarious. It was actually on my 40th birthday. I'll never forget it. They all like corralled them and got them back, but they had sharpshooters trained on those animals, God forbid, just in case they got out into the perimeter. They were in trees.
Yeah.
They would have been shot and killed had they gotten down.
Oh, we'd be having a whole different conversation.
I still picture a train stopping in the middle of nowhere and them setting up camp. How is it done these days?
Oh, that's a good question.
913-586-7798. Let's go to Peyton in Butler. Hi, Peyton. Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Hi.
Okay. I just want to call. Me and my family went to the Ringling Brothers circus thing in the city when they came late last year, and it was great, and they had no animals there. I don't really like zoos and all that kind of stuff just because of the way the animals are treated, but I thought the concert itself, the circus itself was great aside from having the animals there.
And so what did they offer you? Because when you hear circus, you think winky dinky lights, you hear popcorn, I think automatically cotton candy, and then I think animals. So instead of that, what was it?
It was a lot of that stuff besides the animals, but it was a lot of like gymnastic-y kind of stuff, like performers from around the world that have come around there, a whole bunch of motorbike activities, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Unicycles.
You know, I picture more like a Cirque du Soleil type of circus with the acrobatics and the, you know, not that there can't be something that goes wrong there. I was in Topeka once when they were up there on the whole high, like the flying whatevers, and one of them, he did not die. He ended up in the hospital. They were doing interviews and, you know, broke about every bone in his body. But I mean,
wow.
Okay, children, we're going to take a quick 15-minute break.
Right?
Sorry, you just saw a man almost fall to his death.
Divert your eyes from the blood.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Jim in Topeka. Hi, Jim.
Hello there.
Hi, go ahead.
It's sad to talk about this because I'm probably going to be one of the few people who really know the absolute truth. And it has to do with the organization that for animals that goes by letters.
Yeah.
And they want to take every animal away from everybody, including my horses and cattle and anything else. And the thing that they did with the others was a win for them, and they used that as a promotion for. And there's things about that that I agree with, the mistreatment, but most of them weren't. They will say the same thing about the way that I ride my horse. They will say the same thing about the rest of it. And that organization, in their charter and in their meetings, will say that they want to take even meat off your plate.
Yeah, and Jim, you've been heard, and I don't disagree with what you said.
Yeah.
That is what that organization is for. I don't think we can just let all of the horses run wild. We've tried that.
Right.
In Montana and other places.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the difference if we're talking about a circus and moving an elephant from point A to point B? She's 58 years old, by the way.
The elephant is 58 years old.
I think they live to 100. She's 58.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
From Asia. What is the difference between that and breaking a horse and saddling up and riding a horse around? I mean, he brings up a good point. PETA also wants to take away the horses, which aren't really domesticated animals.
Wait, you said she's an Asian elephant?
Yes.
She is 10 years beyond her predicted lifespan.
Oh, thank you. 58 years old and from Asia.
Okay, so then what's
an elderly elephant.
What's the difference then between these two things? And do they still in bull ride, do they still put like the little shock thing, the shock
God,
belt?
I hope not.
For bull riding?
God,
and that's
I
how they
not.
Get the bulls to kick their feet up in the air. It used to be they would attach a little shock belt to their bladder, and that's how they...
I don't think that's it. I think they're just trained to...
I have a friend who works in and around zoos, okay? And he explained this to me about 6 months ago. There are a lot of zoos getting out of the business of elephant care. And there are many reasons for that. One is the cost. One is just the debate over whether these majestic animals should be in captivity.
And is it just elephants? Are there other animals that have hit a nerve besides elephants? And are they just the most endangered? And that's why we care the
most?
Yeah,
and I think the other thing with the elephants is the length of their lifespan and also the cost of the care if you're going to do it correctly, whatever correctly means to you,
right?
Where you have a much larger space and all of those things.
I'm surprised that primates aren't the top of that list, considering their
intelligence
nearest to us in the evolutionary world.
Are we just abundant with them?
Some elephant experts argue the more humans learn about elephants' intelligence and social networks, the more compelling the argument to release them, or at the very least, stop breeding them in zoos. They also note that the poaching of elephants and habitat destruction in Africa continue, despite conservation efforts by zoos, and question the difference some are making in hosting visitors who are largely seeking recreation.
Yeah.
The
safari. I mean, it's cool as can be to see them roam wild and to see how close you can get to them because they're used to people being there.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is also drafting new rules for elephant imports aimed at protecting African elephants, which have dwindled from 26 million in the 18th century down to 415,000.
By the way, according to the text line, bulls kick because of a cinch strap that is around their abdomen.
Yeah.
Just to make them uncomfortable, so they try to kick it off.
So it's not...
It doesn't shock them.
Okay, it used to be...
They just tighten it up, and then they're trying to kick off the strap.
I don't like that, but it used to be little electric shockwaves.
But I think zoos will also tell you, okay, we have successful breeding programs where we are bringing elephants into the wild, where we bring education about the elephants, where... you know, the ticket sales are huge because of the elephants. They are a driver of traffic to zoos.
But could this circus make the same argument that zoos make? I mean, we've extended this Asian elephant's lifespan by 10 years.
No, but what life is that?
I was just going to ask, what's the quality of it?
When she's being transported back and
about zoos,
forth.
Though.
I don't.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's go to Ryan and KCK. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, ladies. How are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
I was looking for a reason to smile today, and you guys gave it to me.
Oh, bless your heart,
Thank
Ryan.
You.
Thank you.
Jamie, quit listening to bad words. Dana, join me in the cuckoo's nest. But you want to talk about traveling circuses, look up Marysville, Kansas,
okay.
The home of the black squirrel.
Okay.
And then there are rules that say, make sure you are on the lookout driving around town for the black squirrel has the right-of-way on all streets, alleys, railroad crossings. Because if you harm one, the squirrels there is a $25 fine.
If you harm the black squirrels... Oh, I see this. It's the official mascot of Maryville, Kansas.
Really?
It is. I put it on the back of a handball shirt about 20 years ago because we are escapees from a traveling circus.
Oh, my gosh. Ryan, I'm reading about it right now. Thank you for the call. Listen to this. It started with a carnival. According to small town folklore, in 1912, a traveling carnival passed through Maryville, Kansas. It had a cage of black squirrels as a sideshow attraction, and a young boy wanting to free the caged critters released them into a park where they flourished and quickly grew in numbers. Today, the town's population of squirrels is 1/5 black, while the rest is the standard eastern gray or red. This rare and genetically darker squirrel ended up becoming the mascot of Maryville in 1972. In fact, he is right. The little rodents are so beloved, they even have laws protecting them. Only 3,000 people, by the way, in Maryville. And they celebrate its bushy-tailed mascot every year. I think there's like a festival.
Where? This is here?
This is here.
Huh.
At the town's home station, number one museum, you can explore Maryville's history as a transportation hub along the Pony Express route. Oh, I got to send this to Michael Mackey.
Wow.
And there's also art of these gigantic squirrels everywhere. And when you drive in, it says Maryville, Kansas. Welcome.
Oh my gosh. That is freaky to
Black
see.
Black Squirrel
Why
City.
Why does it look like that? Oh my gosh.
Because the little boy let them out and squirrels then did what squirrels do in the wild.
Wow.
Let's go to Jan in Independence. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Dana. Love you guys.
Thank
Love
you.
Your show.
Thank you.
I probably won't be a very popular opinion, but it's 2024. Do we have to have circus animals in zoos?
I think most people would agree with you on that, Jan. I don't think that's the unpopular opinion.
It's just, and it's heartbreaking to think of an elderly elephant still working.
Yeah. Do they not get some retirement time?
Well, do they just not get some peace? Just let them live in peace.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Jan, because I don't know the answer, but I'm asking if we stopped all of the circus elephants, which I thought had already been done, missed the memo, it had not. Thank you, Viola. If we returned them to the wild, would they survive? And I'm afraid the answer is no.
No, you can't.
And I'm not suggesting that you can't.
No, but there's got to be a sanctuary somewhere that you can put them in.
There are several in the United States.
Yeah.
Because we know better now. Yeah, we stop it now because we know better, Jan. Mm-hmm. And then no more.
Yeah. But create sanctuaries to put them in.
Who even regulates that? Is there a regulation for this?
Boy.
Right? Hello, Tiger King.
Are there federal regulations that apply to carnivals? It's a business. That's got to be a regulated industry.
It's got to be a regulated industry
somehow.
If they're still using wild animals.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Everybody stick around. I'm going to give you a little warning about the 3 o'clock hour because Jamie's going to step out of here and then we are going to talk about some sexy things. I'm just telling you right now, Sam. Sam's jaw just dropped.
Sam's like fantastic.
I'm warning everyone now at 3 o'clock.
We're going to be talking about sexy things.
Yes.
Okay.
There are a couple of new bookstores in Kansas City that tailor themselves toward
Dana.
More adult female readers. Yep.
And it's long been known that women prefer to read their
right. I did not. Well, here's the deal.
Men
this is all I'm going
to
say.
Watch that.
I went into a store with a good friend of mine today, and there was this little boutique, and it was a library. And we wander in like ding-a-lings, and I go, "Oh my god, it's a library!" And we start looking at some of the titles. This tiny little boutique library. And there's a sign that says, you know, it's up to the reader to look up the content if you have concerns about the content. And I'm like, is this a rated R library? Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Oh,
I can't wait.
The two of you are going to talk about this. That'll be fun.
Oh, I can't wait. Sam's like, please get me out of here. 913-586-7798. We'll wrap up our conversation about the circus. Kevin from Olathe, please hang on. I was hoping that a Shriner would call in. We'll talk to you in just a second.
We'll do the adult content warning coming up after 3 o'clock. Don't worry. It'll be fine. All right. So Dana's chatting on the phone here, getting guests coming up after 3 o'clock.
If you're picking your kids up from school, I sincerely apologize.
Yeah, you know, it'll be fine. So we were continuing the conversation here. We were following the story out of Montana where you have an elephant who escaped from the circus. That's where this started and kind of roamed the streets and didn't get very far. But she, Viola, was spooked by somebody not backfiring.
Like it was like a car backfired. But to Sam's point, I didn't even know cars backfired anymore, but apparently they do.
How old was this car?
And so I was just surprised we're still doing this in zoos. And thank you to Kevin for hanging on, because I know that the circuses have raised so much money for the Shriners, which is important for the children, Kevin. But tell me, is this still going on today?
Yeah, they still do it today. And I know a lot of times they're trying to phase those kind of things out. And that's them dealing with that is well above the ranks that I deal with. I just like to go and work the circuses from time to time because, and like you said, it's a good cause. So my story about the elephants, though, was when I first became a Shriner many, many years ago. And I was sitting there, and if you've ever been to a Shrine circus, they would allow people to ride on the elephants, or, you know, kids, that kind of stuff. And they would have Shriners that would stand in a circle around where the elephants would walk. And I had a Shrine brother that was down there next to me. He'd been in the Shrine forever. And every time this elephant walked by, she would lift her trunk out and tap his hand or tap him on the cheek with her trunk. And I just thought that was kind of funny. And I said, what's up with that? After one of them, he goes, would you like to meet her? I think her name was like Lily or something like that. And I said,
sure.
What do you mean? And he goes, yeah, I'll introduce you to her. And I said, okay, I'm game with this. You know, Shriner joke kind of thing, thinking. And I'll be doggone, after he went up and introduced me to the elephant, every time she'd walk by, she would tap my cheek or my hand or my shoulder every time she walked by. Well, the following year, she wasn't there. You know, I worked it, and I came back the third year, and he wasn't there. My buddy wasn't there, but I was working it, and she was there, and every time she walked by, she would tap me on the shoulder or on the cheek.
Yep, she remembered you, because, Kevin, hand. They're brilliant.
The term smart as an elephant is
so
true. And, you know, they were kept in back, in a roped-off area in back. Never saw them being mistreated. I just thought they were beautiful, majestic animals, and truly their handlers just love them to death.
Yeah.
I can't say how good I thought they were being treated. So anyway, that's my elephant story in the circus.
Kevin, thank you mm-hmm. for the call. I got to go see the Topeka elephants a few months ago and got super up close. Aww. And the handlers, I will tell you this, have such a bond with those creatures. I mean, they feed them every day.
Yes.
They brush them every day.
Yeah.
They
take care of them.
Helping their feet pads mm-hmm. with the world's most gigantic nail file that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And the elephant would just come over, put its little back hoof up. Yep, they knew exactly what was happening.
That's awesome.
And then they razor it in an appropriate manner so that the pressure isn't so bad on their aging feet.
Oh, that's great.
Still don't think they should be in carnivals. All right, when we get back, we're not going to talk about, Sam called it smut. This is not what this is.
That's exactly what
this is. No, it is not.
Does it describe
sexual
things?
No, it does not.
Decide for yourselves.
I was in a boutique today and saw the cutest little bookstore, and my friend and I just roamed over there, and I went, oh my. Would you be surprised to know this is the number one genre of all book sales?
No.
I was stunned to learn that.
No.
We're going to talk about it. Why is this a thing right now? Under the covers, the owner of that store will chat with us after the break. Stick with us on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.